movie at the Woodlock Ranch and Studios in Cornwall, Ontario, as well as the haunted airways of CFR C119 FM from Limestone City of Kingston, Ontario, Canada. We can also be proudly carried over www.oshawarocks.com over the worldwide spiderweb and throughout the Durham County of Oshawa and Greater Toronto area. And yes, we can also be heard via our channel on YouTube at Way Back with Johnny Woodlock on YouTube. Now, as I welcome y'all back into the second hour of this 10th annual tribute to Halloween today, I'd like to salute one of the all-time favorite horror and Halloween stories that was written in 1820. With that mention, it was a story written by Washington Irving of New York, based on the Cascade Mountains in Tarrytown, New York. That, of course, is none other than the legend of Sleepy Hollow. With that mention, we're going to pay tribute to Ralph Emery, who did a sung version of the legend of Sleepy Hollow. Then we'll follow with Jim Reeves and an all-time classic called Ichabod Crane. With that, I would like to welcome y'all to the haunted side of country music. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening.
This is the story of a man called Ichabod Crane and what happened to him one dark, dark night long ago in a place called Sleepy Hollow.
Catskills was the site. And if he'd have known then what I know now, he'd have stayed home that night. He started home from the quilting party, upset as a man could be. For his sweetie had shown him she preferred young Brombone's company.
Ichabod, Ichabod, have you made your peace with God?
For the headless horseman waits for you.
As he rode, he thought of the old wives' tale, and his heart grew cold with fear. And then as he crossed the wooden bridge, he felt someone was near. Then out of the night came a terrible sight. 'Twas more than a man could stand. For a horseman rode at Ichabod with his head held in his hand.
Ichabod, Ichabod, have you made your peace with God?
For the headless horseman waits for you.
Ichabod Crane wasn't seen again, nor was there a body found. All they could find was his saddle and hat and a pumpkin on the ground. The old wives still talk about Ichabod and the terrible things they've heard. And when Brombones hears, he just kind of smiles, but he never says a word.
Ichabod, Ichabod, did you make your peace with God?
Did the headless horseman wait for you?
His flame, you've read about him, he's Ichabod Crane. He went a-courting one night on his horse, and Sleepy Hollow they both had to cross. While riding and thinking about the girl he would wed, it was there that old Ichabod lost his head.
Across Sleepy Hollow a horseman did follow and follow and follow. Ichabod Crane,
don't wanna end up like Ichabod Crane, who lost his head and went up in the flame. Sleepy Hollow, I'm gonna evade. That was the mistake that poor Ichabod made. I'm losing my head and I'm starting to burn. Ain't any too smart, but I'm willing to learn. You can't talk me into a staying out late. That was poor Ichabod's biggest mistake.
Across Sleepy Hollow, a horseman did follow and follow and
of Sleepy Hollow, 'tis said, the horseman had a pumpkin for a head. My head may be soft and I may not be bright, just one more little kiss and that's all for tonight. I'm afraid that your kisses will drive me insane, and I'll end up like Iggy Bod Crane. I'm heading right home and I'm jumping in bed. That's the best way I know to hang on to my head.
Across Sleepy Hollow your memory will follow and follow and follow this Iggy Bod Crane.
It was the very witching hour of night that Ichabod pursued his travel homeward. The sky grew darker and darker as one by one the stars winked out their lights. Driving clouds obscured the moon from sight. Never had the schoolmaster felt so melancholy, so utterly alone. And the nearer he approached the hollow, the more dismal he became. Once inside the murky glen, Ichabod's anxiety increased 100-fold. For now the forest seemed to close in behind him. Every small detail of Brahm's awful story returned to haunt his recollection.
Well, all you ghostly goblins out there in Radio World, this here is your old host with most, or should I say ghost of a host, Johnny Whitlock, inviting you all into the way back on it. Hey, ride here this morning as we pay tribute and salute our weekly selection of horrifying classics by none other than our furry mascot, Sinbush the Wonder Husky, the big bad wolf of our program. With that mentioned, we're going to pay tribute to a great rockabilly style songs here associated with Halloween. With that also mentioned, I'd like to share Sinbush's top favorites of the week. And these are a little bit more on the rockabilly side associated with Halloween. First, we'll hear from the singing fisherman Johnny Horton and his all-time classic called The Devil Made a Masterpiece When He Created You. Then we'll follow with Little Miss Dynamite Brenda Lee and her all-time classic called Jump the Broomstick. And then we'll wrap up with Bobby Bear and one of the essential songs in his collection called Marie Laveau. With that, I would like to welcome you all in and say Happy Halloween, everybody out there in Radio World. And happy Halloween, Sinbush, you little howling werewolf, you. Welcome in, friend.
The devil made a work of art when he created you. He put the moonbeams in your hair, then he made your eyes so blue. He made your lips to promise things untrue. He knew he had a masterpiece when he created you. The devil made a masterpiece to play his evil game of a honky-tonking day and night, 'cause that's your middle name. He must have used himself inside your heart that can't be true. He knew he had a masterpiece when he created you. Masterpiece, I'ma telling you it's true. I felt the moonbeams in your hair, then I saw your eyes so blue. I kissed your lips of a burning fire, then nothing could I do. I knew he had a masterpiece the day I met with you. Yeah, the devil made a masterpiece to play his evil game of a honky-tonking day and night, 'cause that's your middle name. He must have used himself inside your heart that can't be true. He knew he had a masterpiece when he created you. Masterpiece to play his evil game of a honky-tonking day and night, 'cause that's your middle name. He must have used himself inside your heart that can't be true. He knew he had a masterpiece when he created you.
Well, Come a little baby, let's jump the broomstick. Come a let's tie a knot. Come a little baby, let's jump the broomstick. Come a let's tie a knot. Father don't like it, my brother don't like it, my sister don't like it, my mother don't like it. Come a little baby, let's jump the broomstick. Come a let's tie a knot. Going to Alabama, back from Texarkana. Going all around the world. I'm going to Alabama, back from Texarkana. Going all around the world. Baby, don't I mean a maybe? Let's settle down. A couple little baby, don't I mean a maybe? Let's settle down. My father don't like it, my brother don't like it, my sister don't like it, my mother don't like it. I come a little baby, let's jump the broomstick. Come and let's tie a baby, let's jump the broomstick. Come and let's tie a knot. Come a little baby, let's jump the broomstick. Come and let's tie a knot. My father don't like it, my brother don't like it, my sister don't like it, my mother don't like it. Come a little baby, let's jump the broomstick. Come and let's tie a knot. I'm going to Alabama, back from Texarkana. I'm going all around the world. I'm going to Alabama, back from Texarkana.
Another man done gone. And then one night when the moon was black, into the swamp came Handsome Jack. An old good man like you all know, looking around for my real of old. He said, my real of old, why you lovely witch, give me a little charm out. This very night I'm gonna marry you, and it'll be another man done gone. So Marie done some magic, shook a little sand, made $1 million and she put it in his hand. She giggled and she wiggled and she said, hey, hey, I'm getting ready for my wedding day. But Handsome Jack said, goodbye, Marie. You're too damn ugly for a rich man like me. Marie started mumbling, her fangs started gnashing, her body started trembling, and her eyes started flashing. She went, another man done gone. So if you ever get down where the black trees grow and meet a voodoo lady named Marie LaVoe, if she ever asks
make her your wife. Man, you better stay with her for the rest of your life, or it'll be another man done gone.
Hi, this is Butch Patrick, or as you all probably know me better, Eddie Munster, the kid from Mockingbird Lane on the Munsters. And you're listening to the way back to my friend, Johnny Woodlock. Happy Halloween, everyone.
Well, now, all you ghostly goblins out there in radio world, this here is your old host, or should I say ghost of a host, Johnny Woodlock. And with that mentioned, I would like to pay tribute to the great Canadian Northern legends. Well, I guess I could say that, or I could also say that Canada is full of mythical creatures. With that mentioned, we're going to pay tribute to a few Halloween songs here this morning of the mythical creatures of Canada. First of all, we're going to hear from Buddy Reynolds from Out West, and his all-time classic called Ogle Pogle. Then we're going to hear a classic by none other than Stompin' Tom Connors, and a song that's very seldom ever played, but I like to play around this time of year, called The Sasquatch Song. That's going out to John and Kathy, whom I am visiting this weekend in Western Ontario. For them today, it's, yes, going to be the legendary king of Canadian country music, Stompin' Tom Connors, and The Sasquatch Song. And then we'll wrap up with none other than a classic by the storyteller of the Ottawa Valley, Wayne Rostad, and an all-time classic called J. Ulysses Moses Henson, also known as the Bear Song. With that, I would like to welcome y'all in and say Happy Halloween out there in radio world.
Funniest thing the world has ever known. Story I will tell to all about the Ogle Pogle where the rippling waters fall. I'm telling you because it's true, believe it if you can. There's an Ogle Pogle swimming down in Ogle Pogle land. A dragon's head he's supposed to have, and his eyes are balls of flame. It's 40 fathoms from his tail up to his shaggy mane. I'm telling you because it's true, believe it if you can. There's an Ogle Pogle swimming down in Ogle Pogle land. Men call it Okanagan, that I can't deny. That means stormy waters where the Ogle Pogle lies. And this is true, I'm telling you, when he gets mad I'm told. The thunder's crashing, the lightning's flashing, the dark blue waters roll. Now that's as true as true can be. I hope you understand. That's the way I heard it down in Ogle Pogle land. But if you ever see an Ogle Pogle, take it right from me. Lock your cage up tight tonight and throw away the key. Ogle Pogle.
One day at midnight, the sun was so bright, the moon had no light, but I could see this big old Sasquatch said he was top notch, at playing hopscotch way up in a tree. So I bet my wristwatch that big old Sasquatch could never play hopscotch way up in a tree. Now there's a Sasquatch up in a tree crotch. He's got my wristwatch and he's laughing at me. I told the Mounties throughout the counties to put some bounties all over BC and stop that Sasquatch from playing hopscotch till he gives my wristwatch right back to me. Then Corporal Savern, he found a tavern in an empty cavern where the sun don't shine. And he found a Sasquatch drinking blue blotch, wearing a wristwatch looking just like mine. So he asked the Sasquatch where he got the wristwatch, and that big old Sasquatch, he began to lie. Said he got the wristwatch while playing hopscotch up in a tree crotch with a stupid old guy. So the Mountie told him he could never hold him. He'd have to scold him for doing no harm. So they played some hopscotch until the Sasquatch had the Mountie's wristwatch on his other arm. Now all the Mounties throughout the counties, they're placing bounties all over the land. And that big old Sasquatch, he won't feel top-notch when they get their Sasquatch like they get their man. 'Cause if that Sasquatch keeps playing hopscotch, there won't be a wristwatch for miles around. 'Cause he'll play hopscotch till he gets your wristwatch up in that tree crotch, and he'll never come down. So don't play hopscotch near any old tree crotch until that old watch-stealing, big-feeling hopscotch and Sasquatch is found.
Wrestling match with a grizzly bear, so we carved him a home in the belly of a giant oak tree. Now Jay Ulysses swore a vengeance on that grizzly bear. He'd run through the hills screaming and shouting at bears that weren't even there, and people in the town that lay in a shiver in their sleep when he went. When you hear him come, because he's out there looking for the grizzly bear. Yeah! Jay Ulysses, Moses Henson finally cornered that grizzly bear. Legend says outside of the town that the two giants met out on open ground. Jay Ulysses, Moses Henson, grizzly bear. Three days later, when the dust had settled, Ulysses and the bear weren't there. People said, hey, it's finally over, but it didn't end there. 'Cause on a still night deep in the hills, if you listen, you'll hear. You better.
mare. Oh, and here he comes, it's Big J. Ulysses, Moses Hanson, the mountain man. They called him J. Ulysses, Moses Hanson, J. Ulysses, Moses Hanson, J. Ulysses, Moses Hanson.
Chasing the grizzly bear. My monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
Hello, this is Sarah Karloff, daughter of Boris Karloff, and you've been listening to my good friend Johnny Woodlock on the way back, Haunted Hayride, Happy Halloween.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
Well, now, all you ghostly goblins and werewolves, it is once again time to welcome back a very special member of our morning team to our program today. Our beloved littlest member of our morning team, who makes it up with a mile-long personality and an even bigger heart. That, of course, is Gunny the Dachshund, and as we welcome wee little Gunny to our program this morning, we have our Pumpkin Patch doll here this morning with all her collection of ghostly train songs. First, we'll hear a beloved Halloween-style song by Hank Snow the Singing Ranger, a song called Ghost Train. We'll then follow with Marty Robbins and a song that my good friend Cowboy Joe Babcock wrote and Marty recorded many years ago titled, yes, of course, Ghost Trains. And we'll wrap up with a third song by that same title by the first queen of the Appalachian Mountains of Virginia, and that, of course, is Wumalee Cooper and her husband Stoney Cooper, and another song called Yes, Ghost Train. So if you haven't guessed it already, friends, we've got some great songs about ghosts and trains. With that, I would like to welcome y'all in and also thank our beloved wee little wiener, Gunny, for her contribution to today's program. Happy Halloween, Gunny.
It was early in the fall and the blowing up the squall from the terrace, you could hear the weirdest moan. With a mighty lonesome cry came a whistle from the sky, and it chilled the very marrow in my bones. Then a loud rushing roar like you never heard before turned the blood to icy water in my veins. As I watched with rising fear, something strange was drawing near, and I saw through the night. Just as they passed me by, I heard the engineer cry, give her coal, give her coal, shovel it on. You could see the fireman grinning in the engine that was winning, but I knew before the finish they'd be gone. You could see the drivers roll as they shovel on the coal, and the black smoke came pouring from the stacks. As they thundered through the sky, I am here to testify, you could hear the wheels a-clicking on the tracks. Through the smoke and the steam, you could see the headlights gleam. Now I have no proof, but still the fact remains. You may doubt it, but I swear there was cinders in my hair when I saw clouds go strange.
Way out west in Arizona, cowboy tends a herd. The desert lies beneath the sky of blue. Far away in brightest day, a ghostly sound is heard. The phantom of the rail comes into view. Hear that lonesome whistle calling. On his lonely ear is falling. Loud and clear, just hear that lonesome wail. But it's just the ghost, the phantom of the rail. Little did he know the train was wrecked in 84 after it had crossed the Great Divide. Every year it tries again to make it just once more, if only to the California line. Hear that lonesome whistle call. Hear that lonesome wail. But it's just the ghost, the phantom of the rail. Clickety clack along the track, its border showing red as on it comes along the rusty rails. People that are riding in the cars have long been dead, lost in time along the phantom trail. The very ground beneath him shake. As on it comes, the only run it ever made. Closer comes the phantom as his eyes in wonder gaze. His pony shies and heads him for the brush. And as it comes upon him, terror grips his heart amazed, leaping to avoid its onward rush. Staying on the ghost train rail.
Hear that whistle, hear that whistle. Hear that lonesome marvel cry. Hear her rumble in the distance the ghost train, it's the ghost train, roundhouse at the pearly gate. Many souls have got their ticket on the train that's never late. The ghost train, it's the ghost train, roundhouse at the pearly gate. Many souls have got their ticket on the train that's never late. it's the ghost train. It's the ghost train. Roundhouse at the pearly gate. Many souls have got their ticket on the train that's never late.
Fortunate souls in pain. This one longing to be thinner, that one wants to get the girl, and do I help them?
Yes, indeed.
Hi, this is Pat Carroll, the voice of Ursula and the Little Mermaid, and I want to wish you all a happy, happy Halloween with my good friend Johnny Woodcock. Boo!
But on the whole, I've been a saint to those poor, unfortunate souls.
Well, now, friends, following that classic ghost tribute to the trains years ago by our beloved Halloweeny of a dog, yes, Gunny, the little dash hound, we're back here once again, and it's that time in the program to welcome a very special second guest of honor onto our program this morning. Now, in recent months and weeks, I have had the honor of inviting some of my top 10 list of most wanted guests onto the program. With that, our next guest is among our top 10 wanted interview guests for the Halloween program since day one in 2016. This next guest is a very special friend of mine for some time now, but has only now allowed us to do an interview with him. And that, of course, is the grandson of Lon Chaney Jr. and great-grandson of Lon Chaney Sr., both of the Universal Monster movie fame. And that mentioned, Ron Chaney is our guest. With that also shared, it is a great honor to welcome Ron to our program today, and following this visit with Ron, we will hear an all-time classic Halloween favorite, which was recorded in 1964, and is very much in the Wolfman style of music called Werewolf Watusi, and that, of course, is by none other than Bobby Boris Pickett, the original Monster Mash singer himself. With that, here now is a good friend of mine, Mr. Ron Chaney.
Hey, Johnny.
Hi, Mr. Chaney. How are you today?
I'm good.
I've been interested in your family for many years now, so let's go back to when and how it all began. Your great-grandfather was, of course, Lon Sr.
Correct.
And your grandfather was Lon Jr. Now, how did they get into Hollywood?
A progression of time, and you have to go actually all the way back to Lon Sr.'s birth in 1883. You want to go way back to where it all really began, when he was born to a deaf-mute parent. His aunt, his uncles, their spouses, because his first language was learned through pantomime and sign.
Okay.
And so that was kind of instinctive to him. His father was a barber. Colorado Springs is where he grew up. And, you know, they were educated, both his mother and his father. They both attended deaf schools. In fact, his mother formed two schools for his grandparents, and his mother's mother and father formed the first school for the deaf in Kansas.
Ooh.
In the 1800s, and also the first school for the deaf in Colorado. And
wow.
It's still to this day working and serving the deaf and blind. So, you know, those were was the background of what he grew up upon. So he grew up in that community, handicap areas of like that. There was communities where there was deaf people go so they could, you know, work with each other. But I think the whole point of them doing that was to educate them. I mean, it wasn't like their mind wasn't right. You know, it was all about educating them, making them read. They had a printing press there and put out a weekly newspaper where the kids would go around and report on things in the town, and then they'd come back and they, you know, make them with the and the printing presses were so loud they might make you go deaf, but for the kids it didn't bother them at all. And so they were always teaching trades, you know, going back, I'm talking about the 1800s, like 1860 to when, during the Civil War time is when they tried to start, and eventually the school still exists in Kansas as well, but it's been relocated a number of times. But upbringing in community, he grew up. His mother was never, you know, real healthy. She always had a lot of health issues, and when he was a young teenager, she had rheumatism really bad, but she was really stricken where she couldn't even move. She was bedridden. Yeah, and then his father and older brother, older than Lon, you know.
Lon Jr. would have been inspired by his father then to become an actor.
how could you not, you know?
Very true, yes.
He saw what he did. He saw how hard he worked. He saw how much he suffered. He saw how much he put into it. He saw how much he sacrificed for that art and that love of doing it, and that excitement really never left him. I truly loved the stage. And had that not happened, we would have never known what he did in film. That's what's had its lasting legacy, which is, you know, me and the whole family are so proud of.
Yes, of course.
But getting back to my grandfather, after his dad died, you know, they approached him. He was a good-looking man. He was big, strong, handsome, and he had the name Chaney. So they wanted him to join as Lon Chaney Jr. And, you know, there was some controversy. Well, I can't go into that too much, but he chose to hold out till he signed with RKO under his real name of Creighton Chaney. Of course, now we're into talkies now. Silence all gone.
That's right, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so from day one, how's Creighton Chaney, you know, measure up to his father? I mean, how do you do it? My grandfather knew he never would. It was just a different time. He knew what a genius he was. So he wanted to earn it his own way. So he did everything. He was in a lot of movies he never got credited for. He would do stunts. He would do whatever they asked him to do. But when they signed him with RKO, he did some serious, a lot of westerns. And then, you know, he did very well and eventually fell in love with another woman, my grandma Patsy.
Yes.
And that ended in divorce with my father and my uncle and split them all up. So that was the hardship, the bad side of going into the business in the family. But that was his roots. And he loved Patsy. Couldn't get as much work as he always hoped he would. Eventually, Fox got him to change his name to Lon Chaney Jr., 1935. He said the roles were, you know, not a lot better, but, you know, he was making money because, you know, when you're studio, you got paid, like, per week at that time. And, but as any artist is, you know, he wanted to do his own thing. He went independent, signed for a 6-picture deal, and that went south after, I think, 2 pictures. Was independent again, struggled very similar to his father.
Yes.
Struggled mightily. And in 1939, auditioned for Of Mice and Men on stage.
Yes, another classic.
The West Coast run. So, you know, there was a lot of skepticism with that, but he was so good in the role, Lenny. People finally, I think he emerged prior to the Wolfman with his role of Lenny, that he was able to emerge away from his father, like not being compared, that he's an actor in his own right, and he was so phenomenal in that role.
Yes, he was.
I mean, to this day, I still think acting-wise, I've never seen anyone ever do it better than my grandfather played Lenny. So, and then, of course, now he's got some of his own fame, ended up signing with Universal, but then a couple of films, I think in some serials, The Wolfman came. Karloff turned it down.
Yes.
And, you know, they were getting older for a new horror star, and who better than someone with the name of Chaney, you know?
Exactly. Yes.
I'm sure from a marketing and everything else, studios had to go, okay, I wonder if we can pull this off. He's an American playing in English in a, you know, this story. But they made it work. My grandfather said, you know, the success of this film was because of everybody.
Okay.
It was the director and Evelyn Anchors and my co-stars, all the way down to the boy who used to bring me coffee early in the morning when I was getting into the makeup, you know, that I couldn't have done without. So, you know, he gave praise to everybody associated with that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, okay, so now you've gone from Chaney Sr., even though the Hunchback wasn't really a horror character, but it was so horrific looking, people saw it that way. And then, of course, the Phantom of the Opera. His follow-up with the London After Midnight character. Now my grandfather had his own, you know, the Wolfman.
Exactly.
So, and then prior to that, he had done a film called Man-Made Monster, where he called it his first boogeyman film. So, but it didn't have the acclaim nor the talent that was in the Wolfman. So, you know, it was great. I mean, and then, of course, he went on to do Frankenstein, The Mummy, The Dracula.
Now, I understand that Bela Lugosi and your father also worked together in The Wolfman.
Well, yes, they did.
Yes. What, did he ever talk about Bela?
I don't ever remember him directly speaking about him, but I know that he had great respect thought he was a marvelous actor. I know so often, you know, magazines, like, they're printing negative things, like they didn't get along, you know, or whatever the case.
Yes.
I mean, their background's very different. You know, Lugosi came from the stage. My grandfather did not, but he was around stage. So they end up the same eras, too. You know, Lugosi was Hungarian, and my grandfather was American.
Exactly. True, yes.
The culture clash as well, but as far as an actor and person, I would have to think they got along fine. They just did. That's my own personal shit. You know, I've never heard of ever one comment speaking of Bela in any way, negative, shape, or form.
So share with us your thoughts on the modern day genre of horror movies. I know that your family was very much to do with the horror or pioneers in that, but what is your thoughts on the way it has changed over the years?
I think I have to go back to my grandfathers, because if you look at every one of those roles generally that they did, maybe not Son of Dracula, but my grandfather said he always felt the best monsters were played for sympathy. So and I think we've lost some of that. Maybe there's more humor in it. They're just far more bloody.
That's true, Ron. Yes, that's very true.
So
yes.
I can't, you know, so I've watched some. It's not really my thing. I don't know.
They had more class back in your grandparents' day. Exactly.
Coming from a family, I don't like to be scared. And it takes a lot to scare me.
Yes.
When I watch some of that stuff, it scares me. I mean, it scares me, you know, and I'd rather scare other people and not be scared. But
exactly.
I just say, my only thing, I will never put anybody down for pursuing whatever art or movies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose it's all within your own mind, but I'm not in all that really heavy gore and stuff. I know since my family was, what was your scariest movie? I go, they didn't really ever scare me. I'll tell you what scared me was Psycho, because I was young and scared the shit out of me.
Yes.
I remember jumping in the back of our station wagon and hiding under the blanket after that shower. Oh my God, you know. So that scared me, and Jaws scared me. So, you know, even though the blood was there, obviously made it just kind of horrific, but so much of it was in your mind.
Yes, true.
And I think that's where we get really scary, or can be, is within our own imagination. So sometimes within our own imagination, maybe we go to, you know, it seems like now there's competition to see how bloody it can get, or how
true.
And I really can't say, because I shouldn't really say, because I don't see a lot of those movies, but I hear that a lot of them now, there's a lot of humor in them, and kind of, you know, like dark comedy. So, you know, and even I know I did some, I don't know what was going on in the rest of the movies. They were just real low budget stuff. I've kind of been trying to work on acting a little bit, but, you know, I've been involved in some. So, you know, it's to each his own.
So, looking at your grandparents' legacy in the horror movies, what is it like to see their legacy still remembered all these years later?
It's pretty amazing. I'm so proud of what they did. I didn't grow up around Hollywood whatsoever, even though I knew my grandfather was in that business.
Yes.
I really never saw the full, I mean, I'd see the magazines. I go to Gramps, he had the famous Monster magazine, because he was working on the book he was doing at that time, and photographs, and those were always kind of around the house. I think one of your questions is, when did you realize it? And I just have to say, there was no particular time. It was almost like I always knew that that's just the way what it was, you know.
Okay.
Aha moment. I would see him on TV, like more on the westerns, you know. I remember seeing him, and then sometimes when they played the horror films. But in my area, when I was young, there's only like two channels, and they didn't do that. You know, it was like news. You know?
Exactly. Same I hear you. Yeah,
added
for sure.
More. But I know back in the East Coast and the Midwest, they had a lot of different horror hosts at that time that would show all those movies.
Yes.
But it probably wasn't later until later in my life to a show I was invited to, Corey Ackerman's, when they rebooted Famous Monsters of Filmland in 1993. Okay. I'd been to a couple of events, but, you know, I mean, it was really interesting to know people, but that one was amazing because there were so many people there. And
sure,
I couldn't
sure.
believe that everybody mm-hmm. loved my family so much still. I kind of thought, like my grandfather, they were forgotten. I'll always be thankful for all of them for opening my eyes. I'd always hoped to hear. I was starting to have all these plans of what I wanted to do, and you know, there was already a fan base built in, so it was wonderful for me and the support they gave us to eventually get our postage stamps through.
Yes.
I have to say the fans for 100 years now mm-hmm. are the reason these legacies are so strong and still alive and beloved.
How does the Chaney family celebrate Halloween?
Halloween was always my favorite holiday. But, you know, we'd get to dress up. I think it was more about how much candy we could get and whatnot going around, you know, the neighborhood. So so it was always a favorite holiday of mine. My grandfather, he lived in San Juan Capistrano and Dana Harbor Point in Southern California, but on the ocean. So,
yes.
You know, he was semi-retired. He still did some bits. I thought he was retired when we'd go visit him.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned more about his career later on that he was still making these appearances. I'm like, wow. And then he would talk about different things in the movies. But when Halloween would roll around, you know, the kids in that area that lived in that area knew that he lived there. So they would come and knock on the door, you know, because they wanted to see the Wolfman, you know, or Lon Chaney. So
sure.
he would, and they'd ask him to howl, and he'd do that for the kids. So he loved it too. He loved kids. I do know that. He didn't always get along with adults or other people or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, he did. But for sure, he loved kids. And that's how I remember him.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I know he did what he did, he was Gramps to me. By the time I was seeing 20 years after his heyday, you know,
exactly.
40s,
yes.
So he was older, you know, much heavier, you know, and more sedate. I will say that he was more sedate. So when we would go there, it was about cooking and playing cards and watching TV
and grandfather things.
And betting on the fights and things like that. Wrestling with him in the front yard with my brother, him showing us different wrestling moves. He was pretty cool, you know.
He was
an awesome guy. He really was.
Yes, that sounds good. Thank you so much, Ron, and it's been a pleasure talking to you.
You got it, Johnny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
great. Take care.
Now gather round, kiddies, I'll tell you something juicy about this dance you call the Watusi. You think it's something new? Well, that's not so. It all really started 400 years ago at the graduation party for Transylvania High back in 1565. We were swaying to the music of Lawrence Wolf and his bubbly bloodthirsty jive. 23 skidoo,
wow, tennis
shoe. A she-wolf named Rhonda tooled in on her Honda, a quite unexpected call. The hair on her chin parted into a grin. She said, "You bats aren't hip at all.
This is better than Lawrence Wolf."
There's a place down the street past Transylvania West. Let's make it down there right now. We'll know we're at the bloodier go-go when we hear a werewolf's howl.
Ow! Wow.
We got inside and there on the floor, what we saw gave us quite a fright. 150 wiggling wolves. Man, it was out of sight. We immediately called the head werewolf over to our table to ask him
what's going on?
They are doing the werewolf what to say.
The werewolf what to say? Where do they get all of their energy?
Don't you know there is a flea epidemic?
Sounds, let's split. This gig is nowhere.
Man, it is a different bag.
Well, now, following that interview with our good friend Ron Chaney, we're once again back here, and it's that time in the program to pay tribute to the ghostly gospel favorites of years gone by. With that, there was many gospel favorites inspired by the darker side of the Bible, and of course, we're going to pay tribute to an all-time classic called Don't Shake Hands with the Devil, and that, of course, was also recorded by none other than Cowboy Copas in the golden age of country music. So we will be back following this on the other side of the hour. Welcome in, friends, and happy Halloween.
Don't shake hands with the devil. Don't shake hands with the devil. Don't shake hands with that evil one below. If he gets you in his grip, then you're bound to take a trip to that place where nobody wants to go. Trust in Jesus, he'll surely make you whole. But if you trust the devil, you're bound to lose your soul. Don't shake hands with the devil. Don't shake hands with the devil. Don't shake hands with that evil one below. Don't shake hands with the devil. Don't shake hands with the devil. Don't shake hands with that evil one below. If he gets you in his grip, then you're bound to take a trip to that place where nobody wants to go. Just put your trust in Jesus, he'll surely make you whole. But if you trust the devil, you're bound to lose your soul. Don't shake hands with the devil. Don't shake hands with the devil. Don't shake hands with that evil one below.
From his slab began to run.
Hello, this is Lynn Lugosi Sparks, the granddaughter of Bela Lugosi, the original Dracula. You're listening to my friend Johnny Woodlock here on the Way Back Haunted Hayride. Happy Halloween and keep listening.
He did the monster match.
The monster match.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the match.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the match.
Well, I'm back, and it's once again that time following that classic by none other than Cowboy Copas to welcome y'all back into this Way Back Haunted Hayride for 2025. That means that I would like to welcome all you ghouls and goblins out there to the third and final hour of today's Way Back with Johnny, 10th anniversary of our Haunted Hayride. We're still coming to you via the Woodlock Ranch and Studios, located on the haunted St. Lawrence Seaway of Cornwall, Ontario. We can also be heard via the historic yet haunted airways at CFRC 119 FM from the Limestone City of Canada. We can also be carried and heard over the worldwide spider web or internet via www.oshawa.com.